from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good afternoon, live from the Northern Kia Studios on Sports Radio 90, John the Game. John Frickie with you on this. It's going to be like a heat index, Eric Slaughter, like 105. I mean, if you're out there working today and you have to be outside, do take precautions. I just don't want to sound like Dad, but you know how it is. Heat stroke and heat exhaustion happen. So be careful out there if you're going to be outside. Are you planning on being outside? Are you umpiring today, Eric?
Yeah, I have two late games, 6 p.m. and 8 p.m., so I should miss the big brunt of the heat. But, yep, no, I'm already hydrating.
It's still going to be pretty hot at 6 o'clock.
But I will face it.
Hydrate and stay as cool as you can.
Yeah, I will face it front and center on Monday and Wednesday.
Yeah, well, best of luck to you. Hopefully everything's okay. All right. Looking forward to that
end of the summer bonus check.
Gatorade is your friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've actually discovered a new couple of hydration drinks. One is called Hoist. Actually, one of our representatives brought some here to the station, and another, and then I'm a good big Body Armor guy. Body Armor does a lot for me. But Hoist, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that rep was, but they brought them here to the station and dropped them off and told us all to try them, and they're actually pretty good.
Yeah, sounds like a, you know, Uzbekistani guy I grew up with, you know, Hoist. You know, hey, Hoist, what is up? So let's talk a little bit about, we've been talking here. Carlos Alcaraz blew out Novak Djokovic, just got dusted in the men's final at Wimbledon today in straight sets. So Alcaraz is your new champion again as he beats Djokovic. And so big day for Spain as their star tennis player wins the men's title at Wimbledon. Might still be another big day for Spain as they take on England in the UEFA final. That game kicks off at 3 o'clock our time. That game's in Berlin. Also coming up later tonight, the Copa final between Argentina and Colombia. Can you roll your R's? Can you do that? Can you roll your R's, Eric? Some people can't roll their R's.
Every once in a while I can. Every once in a while, you know, Argentina and Rucorororol. Yeah, you know.
That game, 8 o'clock in Miami tonight. Braves this afternoon, final game before the All-Star break. We'll send Chris Sale to the mound seeking win number 13. Hopefully they can score a run. Been shut out two of the last three times. I mean, it's Marcelo Zuna or bust. I mean, that's it.
With Sale on the bump, hopefully we only need one or two runs.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the only way you win a game. Because if you don't, you don't win.
The crazy thing about it is Lopez is on the bump yesterday. He gives up three. He still leads the Major League Baseball in ERA, and we couldn't even get him what he needs. And he's like, come on, guys, I don't give up much. Give me something.
Right. No, I'm with you. Braves best and worst from the first half. What do you think the Braves best thing was from the first half? Was it Marcelo Zuna and the record RBIs for an Atlanta Brave? Was it, and first half being a relative term, they played today's game number 95. They have 67 to go. Was it the starting pitching overall? Was it Chris Sale? Was it overcoming all these massive injuries? And despite all the problems they've had, they're still 10 games over 500 and still three games up in the wild card. What's the worst thing? Is it Olsen? Oh, come on. Is it been the struggles offensively when you've got Murphy hitting 211 and Arcia hitting 210 and Duvall hitting 191, Rosario hitting 190? You know, the bench is not coming through. J.P. Martinez, Guillorme, Eli White, Zach Short. I know they're trying, but they haven't given us anything. And was that, or is it just, to me, it's just a general lack of joy in their game. And I think they're not playing together as a unit. And that's really distressing to me. And that falls on the manager, that they're not playing together as a unit. You could talk about the losses of Acuna and Strider and Matzik and how Minter went on the injury list and Harris and Murphy and Riley and all the injuries that they've had, which are obviously true. But maybe the biggest loss was Ron Washington and Niwai, I guess. Maybe that's a possibility. Other big talking point, the Falcons, biggest thing to watch in the preseason, new coaches and schemes, that's one. New quarterbacks, that's new. Three is the impact of the new players, the draft picks, and the new players on the team? Or is it the holes that we think exist, do they show up in preseason and in camp, especially on the defense? 404-726-0929. We're also talking a little bit about the Hawks here as well, because we're on Hawks watch here. When the Hawks come out this week and do not firmly say, without there was no equivocal statement that Trae Young was going to be on this team. Yes, we're rolling with Trae Young and Risa Shea and Jalen. And yes, we have way too many big bodies out there, so we'll be still making some moves to kind of finalize the roster. It's not what they said. They said, well, Trae, well, you know, we kind of value Trae the way we value DJ, and we have hard choices to make. That's exactly what was said. Let's go to Al. Al, welcome to the show.
Hello, John.
What up, Al?
Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Good. I'm going to talk about this discount that Brunson gave the Knicks.
Go ahead, Al.
John, can you remember another athlete leaving $113 million on the table like this? I know it is next year they could, the possibility of getting it. But I've been racking my brain trying to get my hands around this thing.
Yeah, and your phone is really kind of breaking up, Al. I think we've had this problem with your phone before. Yeah, I know. It's hard for me to hear. Sorry about that, Al. Yeah, Brunson left a whole bunch of money on the table, and people are like trying to figure out why he left a whole bunch of money on the table. I don't know. Maybe he just likes it there, or he's got other things going on. I can't really answer it. I'm not his agent. I'm not him. You know, maybe he just wants the security. He wasn't going to get a better offer. I don't know. I mean, so he took the deal. Look, you know, Ronald Acuna took a 10-year deal, right, for $170 million or something like that, right? Does it? I mean, he's a steal and a bargain. I mean, I know he's injured now. But, you know, you got $17 million a year. Ozzie Albies. The Braves signed, you know, Strider and Albies and Harris and Acuna to these long deals. And everybody said, oh, they got such, how incredible these deals were that they got with the Rileys and everybody else, that they got them for cheap, cheap, cheap. Well, you know, there's risk. The thing about deals is there's risk on both sides. And for the Braves, the risk came in the way of injury. Strider, out. Acuna, out again. Harris has been out. Riley was out. You know, this is the thing when you sign people to contracts, there's risk on both sides. And a lot of times, the players don't want the risk on their side. They only want the risk on the side of management. And people get mad at management for not paying players what they believe they're worth when management's going, well, wait a second. What happens if we don't get what we our end of the bargain out of this thing? Look at one of the main reasons the Angels, and their official team name, by the way, is the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, off the 57 on Catella near Disneyland. That's their official name. So anyway, the Angels have sucked ever since 2002 or 3, whenever they won the World Series 20-some years ago, is because they got the raw end of the stick. You know, they spent a bazillion, gazillion dollars on one guy, right? And then, of course, on two eventually. But on one guy who can't stay healthy. Healthy, he was the best player in the game. But, dude, Mike Trout's career is going to be defined by what? Same thing as Steven Strasburg, right? I mean, can't stay healthy. And let's hope that that's not what happens with Ronald Acuna. Let's hope that's not what happens with Spencer Strider. We already saw it happen to Michael Soroka. You just hope that doesn't happen. You know, you hope they can be able to bounce back. So I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know the Brunson thing. I can't help you, Al. I'm not in his head as to why he took, you know. But maybe it was a team-friendly deal, sure. But maybe they said, look, you know, because we don't know what the offer was. I mean, the offer could have been, everybody says it was for this amount of money, but the team says, well, we'll guarantee this much. you know, but if you'll take less, we'll guarantee more years. And you go, okay, well, I'll take the more years and the guarantee. And again, there's risk on both sides whenever you're negotiating a contract. And keep in mind, I keep saying this because there are things that you learn in life. And as you grow older, for anybody in their 20s or 30s, one of the things you have to understand that at your job, if somebody else is making more than you and you think you're more valuable to them, remember, always remember, it's never what you're worth. Wait a second. Why is dude making more than me? I'm worth more than him. That's not the issue. It's not whether you're worth more. It's only how much you can negotiate. Okay? That's all it is. Are you negotiating from a position of power that allows you to negotiate more money? That's it. If you're not, and you don't have the position of power, then you just got to either take it or you got to leave. That's really kind of your choices here. 404-726-0929. Talking about a lot of the big headlines in sports, we talk about all the things that are set that are coming up in the next couple of weeks. The opening of camp for the Falcons, SEC Media Days next week, you know, the All-Star Game and All-Star, the Major League Draft, all these things that we're talking about, the Olympics and whatnot. But isn't it interesting that while we're doing that, in the throes of all the things that are set, is that we have all three teams in our town, the Hawks, the Braves, and the Falcons, all kind of in flux on things that aren't set, which is, are we going to get moves by all these three teams? Are the Falcons will certainly have to make moves. Obviously, they're going to have to make cuts, right? And they're going to pick up play. The question is, how big a move do they make? Now, the Braves, you would think they would have to make a move, that they're not just going to sit pat here. But who knows, you know, in terms of being able to go get somebody, I always love when fans go, why didn't you go get that guy? Well, maybe they tried and they couldn't get him because the asking price was too great. Well, why don't the Hawks go ahead and trade Trey? I think they've tried. Matter of fact, I'm 100% certain they've tried to trade Trey. They're still trying to trade Trey. And, you know, whether I think that's a good move or not is irrelevant. I would like Trey to be on the team. But I think they've now, this latest statement has so spoiled it. I wonder how, it'd be interesting to see. I would love to ask Trey if he would be, you know, forthright here. Hey, listen, how do you feel about what they said? Because if he said, look, screw those guys, I wouldn't blame him one bit. Because it wasn't a hard question. And they did not have his back. You know, so they basically shopped him in the most public way they could do. And by the way, that's fine if that's what they want to do. Again, I have no problem on any of this. My only concern, I really don't. My only concern is that they're not going to get what they want for Trey Young, and they're going to be stuck with Trey Young, and he's going to be a malcontent, and you can't blame Trey for being a malcontent because they're the ones who shopped him and did so not only backdoor but now publicly. Because that's what happened. And so if Trey's not happy here, remember the one time Trey, Eric, do you remember the one time there was, the couple of times that Trey has not been happy here, what we had? What were the incidents that we had, the two incidents?
Go ahead. I know he washed all his social media. He does that pretty usually, but what are you talking to him about?
Oh, yeah, I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
I'm talking about he didn't show up for a game. Remember that?
No.
Didn't show up for
I know he's missed some games for family obligations and birth of his children.
No,
and stuff
he
like
was
that.
Dinged up and he, you know, and instead of coming and sitting on the end of the bench, he just didn't bother to come to the stadium. Because he and Nate were having a fallout, apparently.
Okay.
And then the other time when, you know, the word was that he and JC were not seeing eye to eye, and he spent that one game where he was like walking the ball up the court real slow. And it was petty. It was like the entire game, I'm just going to walk the ball up the court. I'm not going to push the ball up the court. And I'm not passing it to you, John. I mean, it was pettiness.
Yeah, now to see that makes that me guy question gets in, professionalism, you know, because when you're a professional,
well,
you got to show up and do your
job. I understand. But, you know, again, now I wonder if the relationship isn't, you know, broken beyond repair because of the fact that your general manager refused to answer a simple question about whether or not he was going to be on the team. And he refused to answer it because he wanted to make sure all the other GMs know he was available. I don't know how we go forward with this. I really don't. I mean, I'd love to have Trey on the team. And I saw somebody was blasting away on Twitter X Twitter, whatever you call it, saying, all these people that want Trey traded are idiots. You know, you're just a bunch of idiots to not understand the value of this guy. No. That's not, he's misunderstanding. That's not what we're talking about. Okay. I love Trae Young. I am on Team Trae, but that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about him as a player. We're talking about him as a fit. He doesn't understand. He's missing the point here. The point is the general manager went public and shopped him. Because the question was simple. Hey, listen, we have some roster decisions to make. We're going to play. And then and Allison says, hey, does that include Trae Young? And he goes, well, I mean, it's a real simple thing. So he goes, no, Trae's fine. I mean, like we have with the one caller. No, Trae's fine. Trae's going to be the leader of the team. We're super excited. Trae's going to be out there, you know, running the point for Quinn with Zach and Jalen, and we'll make some other, you know. That's all you have to say. But he didn't. He said, well, you know, we kind of value Trae the way we value DJ. Wait, DJ, you mean you value the guy you just traded? You put the same value? Yeah, you know, we got hard choices to make coming up. I'm just telling you. This is, there's no good ending to this with Trae staying on this team at the moment unless they find, I don't know how. Boy, you'd have to, if you're Quinn Snyder, you're going to have to massage that like nobody business. On Sports Radio 99 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. I missed this is Metallica, but I missed the big concert at Truist, the Def Leppard Journey Steve Miller concert that a bunch of my friends went to. And, you know, between that and the fact that Many Men by 50 Cent has been ringing through my ears for the last few hours because of obviously what happened. I got all this music in my ears, and then I got my buddies in my ears too, because I have a friend of mine said, who just texted me here as I was coming out of the last segment, and he says, stop it, the Hawks have not said they're trading Trae. That's what it says. Stop it, the Hawks have not said they are trading Trae. I don't even know how to answer that. Of course they've said they're seeking to trade Trae. Of course they are. They said it themselves. We have the proof. I guess he didn't hear Landry Fields. This is Landry Fields on Wednesday being asked about the state of the roster, and then the question from Allison Mastrangelo about Trae Young and his response to that. Here it is.
I think we're in a good spot. You know, in terms of who will be on the roster and who won't, you know, like that's a question for another day.
Is it fair to say, though, that Trae Young will be on this roster?
We have a lot of value in Trae. We really do. We have a lot of value in DeJounte. Like, but this is those moments where you have to make those hard decisions. So, you know, from there on, we'll continue to build.
How clear does that need to be? Well, does that include Trae Young? Well, you know, he laughs and he says, well, we have a lot of value in Trae Young. We had a lot of value in DeJounte. In other words, we value them the same. And we got a lot of hard choices coming up. You know, it's a question for another day what the final roster is going to look like. He went out there for a reason. Okay, it was to let everybody, for this to get played, so that every general manager in the league could hear, hey, by the way, without him picking up the phone and saying, hey, listen, come to us with an offer here. And the proof of that is twofold. One, he said it, and two, once he said it, not only was it played on Atlanta media and it went kind of viral on the internet, but we'll just use, I don't know, the flagship station of the Atlanta Hawks. Understand how this works, okay, when we're talking about flagship stations, because I've worked at plenty of flagship stations for plenty of different franchises. I've done play-by-play and been the voice of multiple teams. Okay, when you're the flagship station, and we are the flagship station of the Atlanta Falcons, the Atlanta Hawks, and Atlanta United, we are welcome to our own opinion as talk show hosts. Okay, we're welcome to our own opinion, and we can certainly give that opinion. But if we give an opinion about something that is factually wrong, we're not talking about being mean or mean-spirited or anything, but if we give our opinion about a team, like, for example, I'll take Atlanta United, okay, just because we're the flagship of it. Atlanta United hit rock bottom last night. That was rock bottom. You went on the road to face a mid, and Montreal is a mid. You didn't score a goal. You didn't even get a shot on goal. That's rock bottom, okay? That's just an opinion. It happens to be a correct opinion, but it's an opinion, right? When it comes to Trey, and this is this situation here, the general manager went out there and intentionally said, look, we got hard choices to make. We value Trey like we did Jonte, who we just traded, so therefore we'll trade Trey. It's every general manager in the NBA went, oh, that's what the Hawks said. He did not say that his star player was going to be on the roster. He did not say that, okay? And there's another set of proof. When you're the flagship station, Dukes and Bell reacted to it. I immediately followed them and reacted to it on Wednesday night. We've been playing it since then multiple times. Up at 12:26 in the afternoon on Sunday, I just played it again. Now, if it were inaccurate for me to say to you that that's what Landry Fields did, that he went out there and made it known to other general managers that they were listening to offers from Trey, if that were an accurate statement, we've said it so many times on the flagship station, I will guarantee you I would have gotten a text from Mike Conley, who would have gotten a text from the Hawks saying, hey, stop this, we're not shopping Trey. That has not happened. Okay? Now, I know you consider that to be circumstantial, but it's more than circumstantial. If the flagship station, and not just me, but other hosts are all saying the same thing, and the Hawks are going to go, wait, whoa. We got to correct. It's like when the president makes a misstatement, right? And the White House immediately issues a correction, right? Okay, you all follow me on this? Because the president does misstate a lot of things. The White House has to correct him on a lot of things. Just the nature of what it is. I'm not making a political statement. It's just stating a fact. If the general manager made a misstatement and we took it the wrong way, the franchise would get a hold of us. And that, by the way, includes franchises, or sports entities that we are not the flagship of. That includes Georgia Tech and Georgia and the Braves. It would include, technically, I guess, franchises that aren't even in Atlanta or sports entities that aren't even here. If we were, misinterpreting or shading them in any way, they would get a hold of us. But directly to the teams that we are the flagship of, it is our job to have a partnership with these teams, and we don't want to ruin that partnership. So while we're welcome to our own opinion, we are not welcome to blow things up in their face. We cannot do that. And, that's just not – we can't take a little something and extrapolate from that and blow it up in their face. We can't do that. We can only analyze – and offer an opinion about things that are in front of us, and if we step out of that lane and make it a bigger deal than it is, they're going to check us on that. And they have every right to do that. Not just because they're partners with us and we're the flagship, but because it's the right thing to do. Were I in charge of PR for the Atlanta Hawks, and I was the director, and I was listening tonight on the game, and people were saying, the hosts like me were saying what I was saying, and it wasn't true, I'd be on the phone. I'd be saying, hey, no. You know how much we've heard from the Hawks since we started running this on Wednesday, and we've all had this a bit? Not a word. Why? Because we're not telling you anything but the truth. And they know it. So they can't call us and correct us. They can't go, hey, no, he misspoke. Trey's on the roster. You can't say that. Why? Because he didn't misspeak. Okay? Do we all understand that? Now, whether they could trade, they can actually do the trade, or whether they accept the trade is a different story. But to say that they're not shopping him is factually incorrect. Of course they are. And therefore, what does that mean for Trey and his emotional state and his commitment to the franchise should there not be a trade? These are all questions you have to ask yourself. Let's go to Smooth here. Hey, Smooth, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, welcome to the show. Thanks for having me on your show. Hey, great explanation of what you just said. That's on point. That's definitely facts. So a couple things that's on my mind that I've been echoing is that if this is the case, I really hate it because I really like DeJounte Murray, and I've always been a very big Trey fan, an advocate for Trey since we drafted him. But over the last couple of years, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, Trey's the problem. You know what I'm saying? And it's because the DeJounte Murray experiment should have worked. They brought him in to alleviate that pressure from him getting beat up that year when we played in Miami because he's the only one that could bring the ball up. And when Trey was hurt and DeJounte took over, we went on like a 10-game winning streak. And everybody was eating. But then when they came back, we started losing again. And then the petty stuff like what y'all was talking about with John Collins when he was mad at him and Nate not showing up, that's not leadership. One thing that I can say is that Trey has not gotten better. Like, I feel like he's drinking his own Kool-Aid, and that's the worst thing you can do. Unlike, say, Luka Doncic, who has gotten better every year. Not to say Trey is a great player, and he's done some phenomenal things in Atlanta, but his leadership to lead us to a finals and the championship is not there, and that's a problem because you can't be petty in the NBA.
Okay, I'm not going to sit here and argue this with you, Smooth, okay? I see it a little bit differently than you do, okay? I mean, I think he did take us to, if he doesn't step on a referee's foot. He bowed and the man stood in the middle of Madison Square Garden after he got spat on, and people are cursing blank Trey Young, and he stood there and bowed. Smooth, that alone, I build statues for people who have those kind of stones who represent my city that way. Sorry, I just do. Okay? All right, so, but let's just fast forward to now. Let's not break down necessarily where we've been. At the moment here, Smooth, let me ask you a question. How do you possibly move forward when the general with Trey Young when the general manager refuses to even say that he's on the team?
No, I agree. Like that's why my opening statement was, man, if that's the case, I hate that we got rid of DeJounte because now if we lose both of them, we in trouble. Or if Trey is on a petty attitude, then we've been strangle-held. Because he gonna play how he wanna play, so no, I agree with you on that.
But maybe okay. So maybe let's because they haven't been able to be fully transparent yet. I understand to some degree why, but let me be fully transparent in their place here. Okay, are you okay, Smooth, with a hard reset for this team? In other words, let's say that they are able to match salaries, trade Trey Young, and get an expiring contract or two. And a bunch of draft picks, and just kind of roll with the punches and say, okay, look, this is where we are. We're resetting the franchise because I wish they would come out and say it. I talked to a season ticket holder who I said, I think it's important Wednesday night. I said, I think it's important now if they are able to trade and move Trey Young for Tony Ressler to come out, and Mr. Wrestler is welcome to come out. My show, call my show. You're welcome to come on, to come out publicly and walk all of us through exactly what the plan is. And if Mr. Wrestler does that, I think he'll calm a lot of nerves. Because all he has to say, in my opinion, Smooth, is, look, I bought the team. I set us up for success in all these ways. The final part is the roster. We had some hard decisions to make. We chose to reset the roster, and we believe that we are in a good spot because you can make an argument that if Reese Shea is that good and Jalen Johnson is that good, those are the building blocks of something that could be really good in a couple of years, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard question, John, because everything that we've had, man, it's like we wasted all those years. And so a hard reset, I mean, if they do it, we have no choice but to accept it. Is it gonna be upsetting? Yes. Because it's like, man, what have we been doing? But that's a hard question because like I said, it's gonna be upsetting because the years that we missed and the things that we could have done and potential we've had, but if it's gotta be done, then ain't nothing we can do about it but just take it.
Well, I guess it's gotta be done because now you had 112 games or so mix and match. Sometimes, you know, there was the injury situation to Trey, but 112 games to see if Trey and DeJounte will work together. And you could, it was sort of in a way, kind of a upscale version of Bradley Beal and John Wall in Washington. You just, you know, everybody trying to replicate Steph and Clay in, and you just,
right.
I don't know that it just doesn't really work with two backcourt guys. And so being the stars, being the focal point of your team. So this is Quinn's team. If this is what he wants to build, you got to roll with it, right?
Right. And think about this too, John. Even with that, Trey's father was the one who came out and said, Steph can play off the ball like Steph can. And from what we saw, that didn't really happen, right?
No, it didn't.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a bad situation, man, because it's like wasted years. So, I mean, if we got a hard reset, and now with what he just came out and said this week, I mean, we could be kind of stuck like junk, man.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the call. Thanks, Smooth. 404-726-0929. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens moving forward between now and the year, because if Trey is going to be on the team, and again, yeah, I don't have any problem with Trey being on the team. I love Trey Young. And I like the idea of Trey Young with Zachary Risichet and Jalen Johnson as a triangle of talent there, kind of at the top and on the wings. Is the relationship damaged? This general manager was asked a direct question. Does that include Trey Young? And he hemmed and hawed. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, value him like we value the guy we just traded when hard choices are coming up. That's not exactly a, hey, yeah, he's our guy. Man. Okay. Rays, Hawks, and Falcons. Top of the hour, Harper LaBelle is going to jump into the program. Don't do that many interviews, but Harper's my buddy. And former Falcon, of course, co-host of the Wade Ford Show. And we're going to talk about the Falcons and camp with some of the expectations as we get into this week here. Probably talk a little college football, too, on Sports Radio 90 Time again. Sports Radio 90 Time again from the Northern Kia Studios. Catch your breath. It's going to be a lot of fun here. We're rocking and rolling. We have NFL camps underway. College camps are about to begin. SEC media days. Here comes football faster than you can imagine. All-star break in baseball. Second half of the season. We're talking about the Braves, Falcons, the Hawks here. What's going to happen with Trey Young? Because make no mistake, again, the Hawks are, whether you like it or don't like it, look, again, I always, there are two things that I think are always true. One is you must listen to ownership and management being not only general managers but coaches as well, and listen to what they have to say, and not just what they say but what they mean, because when they say things, sometimes they say things that are, well, let me put it this way. If you've ever been out on a date or dated a girl, or maybe you're married and your wife or your girlfriend says something, you don't just go, oh, it means, you go, wait a second. Well, I heard you, but what does that mean? Okay? That's the way it kind of is with sports owners and sports management, okay? Okay, I heard you, but what does that actually mean? You know? So sometimes it's not just as simple, because when they say stuff, they're trying to lead sometimes other people in their industry, in the case of the Hawks now, other general managers, they're trying to lead also us in the media, right? And all their fans, they're saying things. So when Raheem Morris, for example, I go back to when we were discussing Justin Fields here, Carl and I were having a big show. I was filling in for Mike, and we were going ham on Justin Fields being part of the team, and then Carl and Mike did it again, and then I was going ham on Justin Fields for a brief period of time. And the Falcons, because everybody listens, understand, everybody listens, okay? When you call in, they're all listening. And so the Falcons got kind of tired of this. Raheem Morris got tired of the fact that we were talking about something that was not going to happen, okay? So he decided he couldn't go out. He has to go, okay, I can't go out publicly because it's tampering and mention anybody. How do I talk about that's not going to happen? So he worked out a phrase. It was elite processor, okay? He said, well, we're looking for an elite processor. Now, that's not a slight against Justin Fields. Justin Fields is an elite athlete. If he had said, we're looking for an elite athlete, you would have said, well, they're not looking at the old dude with the Achilles. They're looking at Justin Fields. So he chose to use the term elite processor, which meant, oh, you're not really looking at the young athlete. You're looking at the veteran guy who can you're going after Kirk Cousins, aren't you? So it was a way to lead us. And when Raheem Morris talks about Super and Bowl, he's not just trying to speak it into existence inside his locker room or anything else. He's trying to tell all of you, this is what I'm trying to get through to you. Because he said it many times, but listen to what they say. He's saying, I was on the 2016 team. This team has as much or more talent than the team that went to the Super Bowl in 2016. I was on the Rams team that won a Super Bowl. This team has as much or more talent as that Rams Super Bowl team. Nobody's paying attention to it. Listen to me. I'm trying to tell you, we're going to be special. That's why you should be so excited if you're a Falcons fan. Because I said one touch, 6 points more per game. 6 points more per game last year. That team's not 7-10, they're 12-5. 6 points more per game. That team's 12-5. And we'd be talking about Arthur Smith as coach of the year. And oh my God, Desmond Ridder. And da, 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 da. Yeah. And that's what he's looking at. Let's go to Steven. He's on with us. Hey, Steven, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, John? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, man,
sure.
Smool was right on point, man. He was very accurate with DeJounte. If you look at the chemistry when Trey was out, how they all played together, when Devontae hit those game-winning shots, how all the players was, like, dabbing them up, giving them high fives. You don't see that with Trey. Then I want to get on Landry Fields. Man, you gave DeJounte away for practically nothing. Nothing. I mean, well, he should have just held on to him and waited to the trade deadline this year just to see if, you know, they can get some better offers. But, man, what we got for Javonte.
Well, Hang on. Steven, I don't know that that's true.
Okay.
I mean, hang on. Just let me walk you through it a little bit, okay? All right? First off, there was an executive decision made, probably by Quinn Snyder, who said, look, I give 110, 112 games to this combination thing of DeJounte and Trey. This isn't really kind of what basketball I want to play. If you want me as a coach to win you a title, then you have to let me build the roster. And Tony Russell said, okay, build the roster. And this is how we're going to do it. And he looks at – because understand who's calling the shots on the roster. It's Quinn Snyder, okay? He's calling the shots, not Landry Fields, not Tony Russell, not Nick Wrestler, not Kyle Korver. Quinn Snyder is. And so Quinn Snyder says, look, this is what I need. In the trade for DeJounte, you got the Lakers' number one pick next year. Now, the Lakers go out and draft who? Bronny, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Is Bronny any good?
No. He's
okay.
Not ready.
His dad is like 40, right? And Bronny's no good. And so... they changed coaches, correct?
Yeah, which they shouldn't have done. They should
have kept him. Yeah, yeah. So they get his podcast co-host, who has no experience. I mean, he's a good player in the day. But they get his son to be on the team and pay him way too much money, who doesn't even belong in the NBA. They get his podcast co-host, who's never really coached a game in the NBA. They're going to suck. And guess what?
Yep.
The Hawks got that pick. That's Steven, that's a lottery pick. They're going to be back in the lottery next year.
Okay, but you're only just a piece away or two this year. So,
okay.
Hang on.
Oh no, they're farther away than that this year. So let's examine what they in the trade. I think that Dyson Daniels is going to be a guy you really like. He's going to be a player, dude. And then you got Larry Nance Jr. Now other teams are actively asking about Larry Nance Jr. They're actively, Steven, asking about Larry Nance Jr. A lot of teams are. He's probably got more traction than Trey. And so the Hawks have been trying to get rid of Clint Capella for over a year. So they're out there shopping Clint and Larry Nance Jr., trying to get somebody, you know, either more picks or something else, expiring contracts. Because, Smooth, what are they doing? They're rebuilding. They're resetting the team, right? I mean, it's obvious right now. That's exactly what they're doing, correct?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely with the statement that he made, not saying that we're not, you know, Trey is not a definitely going to be a Hawk. But if I'm the GM, if I'm Landry Fields, okay, we spoke about draft and we should say it, which is, I don't know, he might turn out to be pretty good. But if you want it, Sar, draft Sar. You need a defensive presence, right? You're trying to get rid of Capella. I mean, it ain't. Don't let them dictate where they want to play at. If you want to play in the NBA, you go to whoever drafts you. So I would have.
Yeah, but what if they thought? Okay, again, Smooth, you're making an assumption that may not be true. They went and saw Zachary Risacher. What if Quinn Snyder said, "Look, Risacher's better than Sar. He's going to be a star." What if you said that?
Okay.
Right.
Okay, but everybody's saying that Sar's upside is pretty limited.
Who's everybody? Is everybody Quinn Snyder? I don't care what everybody says. I only care about what Quinn Snyder has to say because he's the coach.
Well, I mean, he's the coach.
I mean, we don't know anything for fact, right? I mean, we just don't. We'll find out in a few years, correct?
It's going to be 2 years to see what happens with Risacher.
Well, I know it sucks because, look, this is my 50th year watching the Hawks. I have no NBA championships to show for it. I'm with you. I mean, I'm frustrated like you are. All I ever ask for is, look, if you're going to do this, don't half-ass it. Okay, if you're going to be on top of the 3 meter, if you're going to dive into the pool, don't jump from the 3 foot board. Jump from the 10 foot board. I mean, go all in here, which I think they're trying to do, by the way.
Well, I don't know, man. It's frustrating. I want to be in the bars cheering on my NBA team like all the other city players, other people around the country cheering on their squad. At least I'm happy and excited about the Falcons, man. Look like we might finally be in the playoffs.
I understand. Look, they obviously made a decision that they did not think that they could win a title anytime soon by going into free agency with or without Trey. They were like, look, none of this is working. And they said to Quinn Snyder, Quinn Snyder says, look, you brought me in. I'll give this a year, and then I'll give you mine. So Quinn sat down and said, look, this is what we need. You want to win, because I take a man at his word, and Tony Russell says he wants to win world titles. And Quinn says, let me win your world title. Here's what we're going to do. Boom, 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 boom. And then I think they're just in the middle of their game plan right now. I would say they're midway through their initial rebuild of this franchise. And it just sucks. But that's what they're doing. Make no mistake about it.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate it. And I appreciate everybody's opinion. I get it. I mean, Alex Sar looked like he was pretty good. I also saw Zachary Risacher. This is why I say you take the summer league with a grain of salt, okay? Just you got to be careful in over or underselling what you see in the summer league, which is why I try not to get too excited or too down in the mouth about anything I see in the summer league in Vegas. It's a double A ball. It's spring training. You know, I mean, don't get too excited, overly concerned. It's not like Risacher and Sar are out there doing it against Joel Embiid, okay? They're just not. And so what happens when Sar gets against Joel Embiid? I mean, is he doing that? Okay, now we'll see. But I think they value, look, Sar said, you know, I guess publicly he didn't want to be here, right? There's something to that, though. I mean, if you don't want to be somewhere, oh, just take him, even if he didn't want to be here. Well, you know, they wanted Luka. I know this for a fact because I talked to Travis Lank, okay? Travis wanted Luka. That's why they drafted Luka. And Travis did his level best to convince Luka Doncic to want to be in Atlanta. Luka did not want to be here. He wanted to go to Dallas. Luka and Dirk are tight. Tight, 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 tight. And so he and Cuban are tight. He did not want to be here. He's like, yeah, I don't want to be in Atlanta. And so Travis did his best. Then he drafted him. And then once he drafted him, he said, look, we really want you here. No. Okay, I want to go to – so he called Dallas and said, all right. And so they said, okay, let's figure this out. What do you want? Well, I guess our fallback here, you know, in a way, is we'll take Trae Young. So you draft Trae Young, trade him to us. We'll send you Luka. You got to give us something else. All right, well, we'll take the number 10 pick, which, of course, turned out to be Cam Reddish. And for just about a hot second there, it looked like we had won the trade because Cam looked like he had game, and then that all fell apart. But anyway, you know, I think this is a hard reset. They just can't say it publicly because when you do, In theory, it would destroy the trademark for Clinton Nance. It would destroy the trademark for Trey. If you publicly come out and say, we're rebuilding, now, wow, if you're rebuilding and you just want to unload stuff, here, we'll give you, you know, this. We'll give you 2 second-round picks. You know, I mean, they can't say that. But they run the risk of having an unhappy Trey on their team because they didn't back him. All this is, like, really tenuous right now. But make no mistake, this is a hard rebuild. Okay? It's what it is. Top of the hour, we're going to get our buddy Harper, our buddy. Well, he is your buddy, too, I guess. Former Falcon Harper LaBelle is going to join me, co-host on the Wait For It Tailgate Show. And Harper is going to be answering some questions about the Falcons and a little bit of college football. We'll get him in, get his thoughts as we go through this Sunday. I'm Smooth and Stephen A. and everybody. I really appreciate all your conversation. I'm just working things out in the air like you are. Not trying to shout anybody down. I know I get strong opinions sometimes. It's Radio 90 John again. Sports Radio 90 John again from the Northern Kia Studios. Catch your breath. It's going to be a lot of fun here. We're rocking and rolling. We have NFL camps underway. College camps are about to begin. SEC Media Days. Here comes football faster than you can imagine. All-star break in baseball. Second half of the season. We're talking about the Braves, Falcons, the Hawks here. What's going to happen with Trey Young? Because make no mistake, again, the Hawks are, whether you like it or don't like it, look, again, I always, there are two things that I think are always true. One is you must listen to ownership and management, management being not only general managers but coaches as well, and listen to what they have to say, and not just what they say but what they mean. Because when they say things, sometimes they say things that are, well, let me put it this way. If you've ever been out on a date or dated a girl, or maybe you're married and your wife or your girlfriend says something, you don't just go, oh, it means, you know, wait a second. I heard you, but what does that mean? Okay? That's the way it kind of is with sports owners and sports management, okay? Okay, I heard you, but what does that actually mean? You know? So sometimes it's not just as simple, because when they say stuff, they're trying to lead. Sometimes other people in their industry, in the case of the Hawks now, other general managers, they're trying to lead also us in the media, right, and all their fans, they're saying things. So when Raheem Morris, for example, I go back to when we were discussing Justin Fields here, Carl and I were having a big show, I was filling in for Mike, and we were going ham on Justin Fields being part of the team, and then Carl and Mike did it again, and then I was going ham on Justin Fields for a brief period of time. And the Falcons, because everybody listens, understand, everybody listens, okay? When you call in, they're all listening. And so the Falcons got kind of tired of this. Raheem Morris got tired of the fact that we were talking about something that was not going to happen, okay? So he decided he couldn't go out. He has to go, okay, I can't go out publicly because it's tampering and mention anybody. How do I talk about that's not going to happen? So he worked out a phrase. It was elite processor, okay? He said, well, we're looking for an elite processor. Now, that's not a slight against Justin Fields. Justin Fields is an elite athlete. If he had said, we're looking for an elite athlete, you would have said, well, they're not looking at the old dude with the Achilles. They're looking at Justin Fields. So he chose to use the term elite processor, which meant, oh, you're not really looking at the young athlete. You're looking at the veteran guy who can You're going after Kirk Cousins, aren't you? So it was a way to lead us. And when Raheem Morris talks about Super and Bowl, he's not just trying to speak it into existence inside his locker room or anything else. He's trying to tell all of you, this is what I'm trying to get through to you, because he said it many times, but listen to what they say. He's saying, I was on the 2016 team. This team has as much or more talent than the team that went to the Super Bowl in 2016. I was on the Rams team that won a Super Bowl. This team has as much or more talent as that Rams Super Bowl team. Nobody's paying attention to it. Listen to me. I'm trying to tell you, we're going to be special. That's why you should be so excited if you're a Falcons fan. Because I said one touch, 6 points more per game. 6 points more per game last year. That team's not 7-10, they're 12-5. 6 points more per game, that team's 12-5. And we'd be talking about Arthur Smith as coach of the year, and oh my God, Desmond Ridder, and ah, da da da. Yeah. And that's what he's looking at. Let's go to Steven. He's on with us. Hey, Steven, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, John? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, man,
sure.
Smooth was right on point, man. He was very accurate with DeJounte. If you look at the chemistry when Trey was out, how they all played together, when Devontae hit those game-winning shots, how all the players was, like, dabbing them up, giving them high fives. You don't see that with Trey. Then I want to get on Landry Fields. Man, you gave DeJounte away for practically nothing. Nothing. I mean, what, he should have just held on to him and waited to the trade deadline this year just to see if, you know, they can get some better offers. But, man, what we got for DeJounte.
Well, hang on. Steven, I don't know that that's true.
Okay.
I mean, hang on. Let me walk you through it a little bit, okay? First off, there was an executive decision made, probably by Quinn Snyder, who said, look, I give 110, 112 games to this combination thing of DeJounte and Trey. This isn't really kind of what basketball I want to play. If you want me as a coach to win you a title, then you have to let me build the roster. And Tony Russo said, okay, build the roster. And this is how we're going to do it. And he looks at, because understand who's calling the shots on the roster. It's Quinn Snyder, okay? He's calling the shots, not Landry Fields, not Tony Russler, not Nick Russler, not Kyle Korver, Quinn Snyder is. And so Quinn Snyder says, look, this is what I need. In the trade for DeJounte, you got the Lakers' number one pick next year. Now the Lakers go out and draft who? Bronny, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Is Bronny any good?
No. He's okay. Not ready.
His dad is like 40, right? And Bronny's no good. And so... they changed coaches, correct?
Yeah, which they shouldn't have done. They should
okay.
have kept him.
Yeah. So they get his podcast co-host, who has no experience. I mean, he's a good player in the day. But they get his son to be on the team and pay him way too much money, who doesn't even belong in the NBA. They get his podcast co-host, who's never really coached a game in the NBA. They're going to suck. And guess what?
Yep.
The Hawks got that pick. That's Steven, that's a lottery pick. They're going to be back in the lottery next year.
Okay, but you're only just a piece away or two this year. So,
okay,
hang on.
Let's examine. Oh no, they're farther away than that this year. So let's examine what they in the trade. I think that Dyson Daniels is going to be a guy you really like. He's going to be a player, dude. And then you got Larry Nance Jr. Now other teams are actively asking about Larry Nance Jr. They're actively, Stephen, asking about Larry Nance Jr. A lot of teams are. He's probably got more traction than Trey. And so the Hawks have been trying to get rid of Clint Capella for over a year. So they're out there shopping Clint and Larry Nance Jr., trying to get somebody, you know, either more picks or something else, expiring contracts. Because, Smooth, what are they doing? They're rebuilding. They're resetting the team, right? I mean, it's obvious right now. That's exactly what they're doing, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely with the statement that he made, not saying that we're not, you know, Trey is not definitely going to be a Hawk. But if I'm the GM, if I'm Landry Fields, okay, we spoke about draft and we should say it, which is, I don't know, he might turn out to be pretty good. But if you want it, Sar, draft Sar. You need a defensive presence, right? You try to get rid of Capella. I mean, don't let them dictate where they want to play at. If you want to play in the NBA, you go to whoever drafts you. So I would
Yeah, but what if they thought, okay, again, Smooth, you're making an assumption that may not be true. They went and saw Zachary Risacher. What if Quinn Snyder said, look, Risacher's better than Sar. He's going to be a star. What if you said that?
Okay.
Right?
Okay, but everybody's saying that Sar's upside is pretty limited.
Who's everybody? Is everybody Quinn Snyder? I don't care what everybody says. I only care what Quinn Snyder has to say because he's the coach.
Well, I mean, he's the coach.
I mean, you don't know.
Man.
You don't know anything. We don't know anything for fact, right? I mean, we just don't. We'll find out in a few years, correct?
It's
going to
be 2 years to see what happens with Risacher.
Well, I know it sucks because, look, this is my 50th year watching the Hawks. I have no NBA championships to show for it. I'm with you. I mean, I'm frustrated like you are. All I ever ask for is, look, if you're going to do this, don't half-ass it, okay? If you're going to be on top of the three-meter, if you're going to dive into the pool, don't jump from the three-foot board. Jump from the 10-foot board. I mean, go all in here, which I think they're trying to do, by the way.
Well, I don't know, man. It's frustrating. I want to be in the bars cheering on my NBA team like all the other shitty players, other people around the country cheering on their squad. At least I'm happy and excited about the Falcons, man. Look like we might finally be in the playoffs.
I understand. Look, they obviously made a decision that they did not think that they could win a title anytime soon by going into free agency with or without Trey. They were like, look, none of this is working. And they said to Quinn Snyder, Quinn Snyder says, look, you brought me in. I'll give this a year and then I'll give you mine. So Quinn sat down and said, look, this is what we need. You want to win, because I take a man at his word, and Tony Russell says he wants to win world titles. And Quinn says, let me win your world title. Here's what we're going to do. Boom, 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 boom. And then I think they're just in the middle of their game plan right now. I would say they're midway through their initial rebuild of this franchise. And it just sucks. But that's what they're doing. Make no mistake about it.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate it. And I appreciate everybody's opinion. I get it. I mean, Alex Saar looked like he was pretty good. I also saw Zachary Reese's shade. This is why I say you take the summer league with a grain of salt, okay? Just you got to be careful in over or underselling what you see in the summer league, which is why I try not to get too excited or too down in the mouth about anything I see in the summer league in Vegas. It's a double-A ball. It's spring training. You know, I mean, don't get too excited, overly excited, overly concerned. It's not like Reese Shea and Saar are out there doing it against Joel Embiid, okay? They're just not. And so what happens when Saar gets against Joel Embiid? I mean, is he doing that? Okay, now we'll see. But I think they value – look, Saar said, you know, I guess publicly he didn't want to be here, right? There's something to that, though. I mean, if you don't want to be somewhere – oh, just take him, even if he didn't want to be here. Well, you know, they wanted Luka. I know this for a fact because I talked to Travis Lank, okay? Travis wanted Luka. That's why they drafted Luka. And Travis did his level best to convince Luka Doncic to want to be in Atlanta. Luka did not want to be here. He wanted to go to Dallas. Luka and Dirk are tight. Tight, 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 tight. And so he and Cuban are tight. He did not want to be here. He's like, yeah, I don't want to be in Atlanta. And so Travis did his best. Then he drafted him. And then once he drafted him, he said, look, we really want you here. No. Okay, I want to go to – so he called Dallas and said, all right. And so they said, okay, let's figure this out. What do you want? Well, I guess our fallback here, you know, in a way, is we'll take Trae Young. So you draft Trae Young, trade him to us. We'll send you Luka. You got to give us something else. All right, well, we'll take the number 10 pick, which, of course, turned out to be Cam Reddish. And for just about a hot second there, it looked like we had won the trade because Cam looked like he had game, and then that all fell apart. but anyway, you know, I think this is a hard reset. They just can't say it publicly because when you do, in theory, it would destroy the trademark for Clinton Nance. It would destroy the trademark for Trey. If you publicly come out and say we're rebuilding, now, well, if you're rebuilding and you just want to unload stuff here, we'll give you, you know, this. We'll give you 2 second round picks. You know, I mean, they can't say that. But they run the risk of having an unhappy Trey on their team because they didn't back him. All this is like really tenuous right now. But make no mistake, this is a hard rebuild. Okay, it's what it is. Top of the hour, we're going to get our buddy Harper, our buddy. Yeah, he is your buddy too, I guess. Former Falcon Harper LaBelle is going to join me, co-host on the Wait For Tailgate Show. And Harper is going to be answering some questions about the Falcons and a little bit of college football. We'll get him in, get his thoughts as we go through this Sunday. I'm Smooth and Stephen A. and everybody. I really appreciate all your conversations. I'm just working things out in the air like you are. Not trying to shout anybody down. I know I get strong opinions sometimes. It's Radio 90 joining in.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show. show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.